Good morning.
Morning, ma'am.
The time now is 10 o'clock. I said I'm happy that this meeting is not a complicated meeting. It doesn't really need a quorum. Let me first welcome everyone who is part of the meeting. I am told that my commissioner from my province is present at the fair. Welcome, Commissioner. So the MM and the mayor will be part of the meeting. And let us as well welcome Zamangwane, our petitioner. I'm sure everyone does have an agenda in front of him or her. Our agenda is quite straightforward. We'll start with the petitioner, and then thereafter we deal with the reports of the Department of Labor, look at it, and then thereafter we adopt it. And the other one will be consideration of minutes. It will depend then on the petition. If we did have time, we'll then deal with the issue of minutes. But what is critical for our meeting today is to deal with our petition, which is coming from, the petition is from Elundile Municipality in Eastern Cape. It was in a way trying to outline our agenda for today. Let me welcome all of you without wasting time again and said we are all have a right to participate fully without fear. For those that are seeing us for the first time in this committee, this is a select committee on petition and executive undertaking. It is chaired by myself. My name is Zokiswa Mwita. I am chairing the committee. And we are not then going to waste time except to say to the petitioner and also to the invited participants that this committee deals with petitions and the procedure that we use to entertain the petition. We first check from the petitioner if the petitioner did interact with the municipality where she or he is. And also, did the petitioner table his or her petition to the provincial petition committee? And if he didn't get or she didn't get joy from all those steps, we then become the last resort to deal with the matter. So it is just in a way try to inform all those that are present. That is how we deal with matters. We don't take matters direct from a local level without that petition taking the necessary steps to come to us. Even before it comes to us as a committee, it has to first go straight to the office of the chairperson, Honorable Masondo, and then the table staff in the office look at the petition, and then thereafter refer it to us for us to process it. That's the procedure that we follow. I felt it is necessary for us, even before we table the petition, to outline that and inform everyone about the procedure that we use. For the purpose of saving time, I will allow honorable members, whenever they are going to speak, to first introduce themselves so that the petitioners and also the guests in our meeting are able to know who is speaking where is he or she coming from, so that at least they have a fair understanding who is part of the meeting. Then, without wasting time, I would like to check, when I was looking at the participants, I noticed that Zamangwane has already logged in. Can we then, without wasting time, allow the petitioner to take us through the petition? Over to you, Zamangwane.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Thank you so much for the opportunity and the platform. And also thank you just to the members of the committee for giving us their ear and trying to help us get to some kind of a solution or even just a way forward in regards to this. If I can briefly just give a brief outlook on who I am. My name is Zamangwane. I am Mrs. Makalima. I am a Durban girl who married into the area. I was living there full time, but due to our house being one of the homes that was attacked multiple times, I actually took the decision last year to move back into the city. So I'm now based back in Johannesburg, and I was lucky enough to be able to go back into my normal job, which was an investment specialist. So I'm now based in Joburg, but quite a bit of my family is still in Gadgob right now.
Mm-hmm.
The petition that we put up online was not the first petition that has come out of Gadgob. There have been numerous ones, there have been numerous small, even petitions outside the police station in Gadgob. So this was, number one, to assist some of the community members on the ground without access to platforms like social media and platforms that can reach.
Sorry, Zama. Can you please ask those that are not muted, and it looks like it's where the commissioner is. Am I correct? Can you please mute? Okay. Continue, Zama.
Thank you, Madam Chair. So that's just the background of the petition and the kind of state and situation that rose to us having this online petition. We used the platform called change.org and we were able to collect these signatures that you may have in front of you. The petition basically outlines that the people of Gadgob, Emaglia, need help in getting some kind of authority to become involved to end the pillaging that takes place every day. You know, Gadgob is one of those places that you could probably base an entire series on, because the stories that come out of there come out, number one, every night. So every morning there's a new story to tell of something, in most cases, that is extremely traumatic. Over the past 3 years, we've seen increased stock theft, not just stock theft, but a depletion. Bars are empty at this point in time. This morning at 4 p.m., again, they were back SCNE stealing livestock. So it hasn't stopped, and it is a syndicate. Sometimes they say where there's smoke, there's fire, and Abantu Bendawo often will actually just tell you the people who run these syndicates, but unfortunately law enforcement needs more than just hearsay and names. So the syndicate that is involved break into people's homes, they terrorize Indeni Abantu, they steal. And in some circumstances, or in some instances, sorry, they've killed and raped during these attacks. There are some people in the community and some parts of the community that either feel the police aren't doing enough, or that they feel that the police don't have the strength or the muscle. And some people who believe that the police are part of the problem and people have lost faith, right? Our aim in releasing this petition was to get the ear of lawmakers, special units, and parties who can actually bring about actual change, like an actual difference into the lives. Ilalile Gadgob is mainly women and children. Like most of Israel in the Eastern Cape, it's dominated by women and children, because a lot of people leave that group to go work in Cape Town or go work in Joburg and Durban. So the young men who you will find there feel that they don't have power to end these household ravages. Some of these young men are involved in one way or the other in this as well. And the heavy hand just keeps coming back. And sometimes when you think they're just coming to steal, they do so much more damage than that. So people here aren't able to make an honest living. If you start a small business, they will come for you. They will come for your takings. They will come for your stock. And we have situations and stories where they've actually just killed the small business owners while they've been there. A family not too far from our stand, I think it is 2018, they came, they shot the husband, they chased the daughter, they raped her and left her in the field, you know. So those are the kind of acts I'm talking about, not just people go and steal in the store while you're asleep. They come into your home and they do so much more than just stealing. I just want to make sure that I cover all of the points of the petition quickly. So a lot of the people in this area have been raised on small-scale subsistence farming and small businesses that are needed in such areas. Some people sell clothes. Some people, they sell fruit and veg. And they are scared to continue. Anyone who wants to start a business can't, because they know what is coming for them. So we ask them if we can get help into bringing together organizations or organisms that already exist within our legal and government structures to help Abantu Begadgo. We have been raised in these cries for a while, and I'm just hoping that with the little access I have to perhaps a platform like this, where I can go on social media, where I can call someone at SSDC, we're just hoping that we can bring together these efforts to actually bring about some tangible change. I would love to go home, but I've been told by the family, by no means do I go back home. So I live in Joburg by myself with four kids, my niece and my nephew included. And my husband lives alone because he would rather bear any brunt of these acts and these acts of violence by itself. The community has started in different cycles. They've tried to start kind of patrolling teams, but people get tired of doing that by themselves, and they're doing this patrolling unarmed. They're just young men who want to protect their sisters and their moms, who go out in the middle of the night and they just walk the area and try to raise kind of some kind of alarm if they see any activity. So it's not ideal. We just would like some help with collaborating departments. I think that's what we're really asking for here. I'm not sure if the committee has the capacity all the time to hear certain stories. Obviously, those are things that we can share. Should you request them of us, we can table them in some kind of a written document. But the stories are horrific, and no one deserves to live like that. I would love to go home. No one deserves, at least, you know, for me, I had an option. It wasn't a great option, but I had an option to leave. Abantu abaninzi don't have that option. And I'm wondering if there's any way that we can make this better for everyone.
Are you done, Zama?
Yes, Madam Chair, I'm done.
Thank you very much, Zama. This is the sad story. Yes, we did read your petition becoming very serious. Thank you very much for bringing this to our attention. I will then ask if there's anyone else that you are with who would like to make addition to your petition or you are alone.
I had actually asked one of the family members that was most impacted more on the stock theft side, Anele, but they're really struggling with connectivity this morning. So I'm looking at the participants, and she's not one of them yet. But the story is on, it's not so much about the stories, but it's about the impact that these acts have on the community. I'll share without giving names, because I do believe that the stories belong to the people it happened to, so I won't give names just for their protection. We have a family who, they ran a small business, they sell bread and all that kind of stuff on their house, the one I just shared with you now, where a group of men walked in, killed the dad, chased the daughter out, raped her, and they told the wife to put a hand over the shot wound because he's going to bleed out. You know, they came into my home. 11 men stormed our home. My husband and I were not aware that there were 11 men. We just thought there were some guys trying to break down the door. So my husband let us out through the back door and told us to run. I had at the time, I think my son was 1.5. I had him covered in one of the bedrooms because he was fast asleep. I had my then, I think, 5-year-old, who I picked up in sleep. Obviously, in hindsight, I shouldn't have done that. But I picked him up and I ran out with him. Subsequently, they caught up to me because I had a 5-year-old that I was trying to carry. And they pulled my legs and then the fence of the property. And that's actually where I got, I don't know if everyone can see, but that's where I sustained some scars. This is one of the most visible ones because it's on my shoulder.
Yes, I can see the scar.
One of the men chased my niece, who at the time was 15. He chased her for over 1.5 kilometers, trying to catch up to her. And we all know that what they normally do is they actually rape when they arrive. So she ran for her life. My nephew ran to get help in the totally different direction. It wasn't the first time they came. They came 4 other times later, and they're quite brave. The last time they came, I think, was in... So the first time they came to see us was 31st of October, 2018. The fourth time they came, they said, Siabuya, insert swear word. They just shut at the kitchen door and said, Siabuya. I stopped selling hair. I stopped delivering food because one of the things I was doing for money is I was delivering food to schools. I stopped doing that. I stopped selling clothes. In fact, one of the things they did, they stole my stock the first time they came. I had to stop. Then I had no way of creating an income for myself, so I eventually had to move back into the city. We have situations where they've gone to a society who've met, and they killed the one man. So they didn't kill him immediately, but they shot him, and he died as a result of his gun wounds. I think about 2 months back, they went into a little area to Tsabeni, and apparently they had been sent by someone there to create fear into the husband. But as husband ran into the door, having seen that there were people on his property, the wife closed the door. She happened to be behind the door. They shot through the door. They killed her. No, people's kraals are empty. So how do you expect people to create any kind of living or sustenance for themselves with the thing that they know how if people are just waiting to take that? And it's not some random bunch of people. It's the same people over and over again. And the saddest thing is that they're infiltrating schools using little gangs, and they're recruiting young boys to join these gangs. But these are run by old men. Old men who run businesses, who run around in their cars, who have access to funds, who can fund lifestyles, who can fund the situation to keep it thriving. And we keep pulling out little boys, like especially from within Ekat Gulf, we keep pulling them out. They go to the police station, 2 days later, they're back. So one of the requests, in fact, one of the ladies this morning made to me when they found out that I'm coming here is to say, one of the things they're begging for, and we are begging for, is please can we stop releasing people back into this community? People have raped. They are attending a case, but they are living in the community with the people they've raped. My neighbor 3 houses down, sorry, that's more work. My neighbor 3 houses down was raped just shortly after I returned back to Joburg last year. They came into her house. Her kids happened to be with other family members that evening. They raped her. They thought they killed her. They rolled her down the hill, and her body was stopped by piles of rocks from hitting the river, and they lived. People we know were involved in that. People whose identities known to the police as well. the boys were in jail or in holding for a short while, and then they were released back into the community. So she had to leave because the people who raped her were released back into the community, which is not right on any level. So those are the kind of things that incite a lot of the anxiety, a lot of the worry and the panic and the anger. And we have a small kind of an online group of family members of people who live in Gutgolf. So they don't live there, they live in Joburg or Cape Town, because like I said earlier, they work. And people carry so much anxiety because every single morning or every time the phone rings, you are expecting to hear something really horrific. And it's not natural to have to deal with such levels of trauma on a daily, like, recurring basis. When I actually arrived in Johannesburg in July last year, I had sleep deprivation. I hadn't slept properly in about 9 months. I just didn't know sleep. At 11 p.m., your body's awake because your body's anticipating something uncomfortable or dangerous, and you are in flight mode constantly. That's just my feeling, and I had a chance to leave. There are people who don't. Like, they are there. My husband is there. He does not sleep. He heard the gunshot at 12 o'clock this morning because he was awake at 2. And somehow, stop. Either we give the police more resources, and one of the biggest complaints is that the police station is full during the day. And I understand it's just the way things work administratively. A lot goes on during the day, you know, people being sent to court, this and that. But at night, there's 4 cops, 1 cop car. The area that the Gutgolf police station has to cover is huge, from Tsitsane all the way to and even the right-hand side towards Manfleta. And it's a huge, huge area. It's so difficult for these policemen to follow up on our reporting. I think the third time I was attacked, I actually saw these guys come into Ekatgolf. We saw them come into Elalini. I made about 6 or 7 phone calls. I phoned policemen that I knew. Obviously, their wives are like my clients, so I had people's cell phones. I made calls. But no one is able to make any movement because there's 1 car inside the police station. There's no way to move around and help. Even if there's will to go out there and do something,
sorry, who is detecting
conversations around trying to change that, change timetable? The community has been begging for this for a while. I think in 2018, about a week after I was first attacked, there was a police, I'm not sure what they're called, it's almost like a conference event where they come and they engage with the community and they find out what their needs are. They spoke about this, but what can my station manager do or our station commissioner do if he just doesn't have the resources? So we're asking for someone to release those resources. And also just to start the conversation outside of this is how we work and this is what we do. We need to think outside of that box and step outside of how we normally do things, because the way we are normally doing things is not working, especially for us. I think I'm done, Madam Chair.
Miss Mwani, this is a sad story, but it's fine. Let me then allow the mayor, please, is with us.
Thank you very much, Chair.
Yeah, hello.
Yes.
Yeah, someone is calling me.
Yes, sir. Can you please address the issue of the people who are my someone? There's someone with the iPhone.
There's someone who is not muted and is disturbing our meeting.
Yes.
Whoever is not muted must please mute.
Mr. Fisher, I don't
All right. I think I was quiet. Can we then allow the mayor? Sorry for that.
Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think I'm audible. Let me greet you, Chairperson, and also greet all members in the meeting and all protocol observed. I'm N.R. Lengs, Nongongozelo Lengs, the mayor of Elundini Local Municipality. What Zama is saying, I must confirm that.
Honorable Mayor, can we see your face, please? You must be able to attach this that you are doing with your face.
Okay. Is it okay now, ma'am? Can you see my face?
Yes, I see your face now. Yeah, thank you very much.
We see you now.
Okay. Okay. Thank you very much, Honorable Chairperson. I have already greetings everyone in the meeting and all protocol observed. I also want to confirm what Sama presented here on this situation in Katkop. Katkop forms part of Ward 7. It is true that Ward 7 is one of the wards that are vast in our area of Elundini Local Municipality. And the high rate of crime is becoming worse day by day, more especially when it comes to the side of stock theft. But also even the burglary, rape and other criminal activities are something of a daily occasion of whatsoever. The only thing that I can say, because even in our side, there were issues that were raised by the communities, saying that as the local sphere that is closer to the people and the sphere that is tasked with issues of service delivery, because there were several meetings that were called in that area of Katkop, trying to discuss the issue and come up with the resolutions that can assist the area, because police alone can't do anything without the support of other spheres or other sectors. And then on our side as the municipality, there were issues that were raised, the issue of roads, the issue of electricity, and the issue of bridges, because the area is vast. We tried our best, because 2018, since 2016-17 and 18-19, we constructed some of the roads in that area. But I do have a report on our site that I can present in this meeting. The report that shows the issues, the things that we done, because people raised the issue of access, especially on the side of the police, that sometimes they are unable to access some of the roads and the areas that need bridges. We listened from them and we went back to the office and discussed ways of dealing with those issues. In 2015-16, 16-17, there was the issue of Itita. There's an area, Payana, of Itita Falls, whereby the criminal activities were also happened in that area almost every day. And then we said, let's go and focus because there are those challenges that are raised there. We built Itita access roads that was from Tsitsaya River to Sophonia access route. We did that access route. And then in 2017 and 2018, there was also an issue of Impindweni to Gamakuru access route. We attended on that matter. 2017-2018 financial year, we built that route. And there was also an issue of a bridge that was in bad condition. And we rehabilitated that bridge of Ikita. And even now, currently, there are also other programs that we are going to do projects in that area. There are two bridges in Sophonia, and those bridges were requested by the communities in one of those meetings, saying that those are one of the things that are creating the challenges. Because if they will say
sorry, Honorable Mayor.
Sorry, ma'am.
Sorry, just a minute. What would like you to focus on is the whole issue of, we just want to know, it was good when you were talking about roads, because the police then must be able to access the area. We want the steps that the municipality has taken to deal with the crime. I know it's not within your competence to deal with the crime itself, but your partnership with the police say there are no electricity in the area, the area is dark, then what is the municipality doing? There are no access roads, we can't access the area, then we want to know what have you done. But the focus here must be more on this petition.
Okay.
My making sense, ma'am.
Okay, sorry. Okay, thank you very much. Yes, as I already said that, I must confirm that what Zama is saying is true. What is presented by Zama is true. The crime rate in that area is high. And one of the requests that were raised by the revenue is that if the area of what services can be provided with a satellite facility, so that if the community wants to be at there's something that there was a request,
Honorable Mayor. Honorable Mayor, sorry. There are these people that are disturbed in the meeting. Can these people be in order? We cannot continue with the meeting like this. Mr. Mkize, are you able to pick up who are disturbing our meeting?
No, I will check it.
No, please check, because we will disconnect those people who are there to step with us.
No, okay. All right.
Maybe identify space.
We can continue if we wait.
Researching. Yeah. Identify space.
Are you able to pick them up?
Space for internet.
I think the commission's up.
Office. All right. Okay. Commissioner.
Are you calling to the general?
I do not know who is here.
No,
but their office is disturbing us.
Selection of suitable candidates for power.
Can you imagine?
Must be suitable
candidates. Who is representing police?
It's not from the police side.
Hello?
It's not from the police side. They are all muted from my side. I check on them.
Where is this feedback coming from? Okay, now it's no longer there. Can you then allow the mayor, whoever is not muted, they must please mute. They are disturbing the meeting. Okay, can you continue with the meeting?
Honorable Mayor.
Thank you, ma'am. I was saying, ma'am, now that the area is vast, to me, the only solution that can assist in this issue is to have or to get another police station, whether it's a temporary arrangement, so that if the communities want the service of the police, they can reach or they can get that service as a matter of urgency. And another thing, there are people who are from the side of Kumbu area who used to come to this area. And most of the time, those people are working with some of the community members in the area of Ward 7, which includes Gatkopu. If the communities can also be trained how to do whistleblow, so that they can tell the police and they can inform the police with those people that are working with others that are from the area of Kumbu. That's the only thing that I can suggest in this meeting around the issue of Ilendo, stock theft and other matters related to crime. That's my take, ma'am.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mayor. Thanks. Can we then take the MM, if the MM wants to add anything from the presentation of the Honorable Mayor? MM?
Hello, Chair. Good morning. I have got nothing to add to what the Mayor has said, Chair. Thank you.
Yes. Good morning, sir. Then we will give, I do not know who represents the police. I'll give them. Representative from the police side.
Good morning, Chair. I'm leading the delegation, but I think I'll also do the presentation. Good morning to the members of the committee, the mayor, and all protocol observed. Madam Chair, we made a presentation. I don't know whether it's going to be flighted so that we can show what we have done in response to the petition. We will send it to the secretary. Chair, am I audible?
Okay. You can make the presentation.
We requested to be flighted from your side, that side of Parliament. Thank you.
You are. And please formally introduce yourself.
Thank you so much, Chair. I am Lieutenant General Liz Wenjinga, the Provincial Commissioner of the Eastern Cape. I am with my delegation here. I've got my deputy for crime detection, Major General Lala. I've got the head of the intelligence, Major General Kulele. I've got the provincial head of visible policing, Brigadier Nzabo. I've got the provincial head of organizational development, Brigadier Class. Those are and also the newly appointed acting district commissioner, Brigadier Adolf, who is situated in Alwa North, is the district commissioner of Joe Gabi. We have made a presentation responding to the petition. There is one that I sent this morning that has got pictures attached to it so that we can show the portfolio of evidence. I'll be quick, Chair, because other things have been said. Can we maybe go to slide number 5? Because it will talk to my response. Slide number 5. That one is number 6. Just go back one slide. One slide back. Thank you so much. Chair, I just want to show the fixed establishment of Katkop Police Station. Katkop Police Station is at the level of a Cape Town, a small station, because previously there was no police station there. It was established to assist the areas that are outside Maclear. I want to agree with the petitioner. I'm also from that area. I'm from Maclear, so I know exactly the area, how big is it, because I'm one of those who was also, I've already talked to National to say, at least the area of Sizana is too far from Katkop. He's supposed to have his own small station, maybe a captain station also that is going to serve that site. If you see the area, is starting from Sizana, upper Sizana, and then it goes to Khotlopong area and up until you join the area that is bordering with Sulengama. Currently, the fixed establishment of the station is 30. They've got active members, which are 8. There's a gap of 8. Detectives are supposed to be 4, but there are 5. They are plus with 3. The support service is they're supposed to be 10. There are now 7. The total establishment is 44. Active is 34, and there's a gap of 10. Can we move to slide number, the next slide? These are the types of vehicles that we are having in that area. You can see it's Toyota Land Cruiser, Ford Rangers, Nissan truck, Toyota Hilux, Nissan, there's no sedan. So all these vehicles are suitable for the terrain. But due to bad roads, our vehicles are always in the garage. And if also we can also look at the kilometers readings are very high. We just gave them a new Toyota Land Cruiser just to beef up the patrols. So these cars, they are not always on the road due to the bad roads. They are always in the garage. We are trying our best to make sure that they are vans that are running, especially at night. Let's go to next slide. What did we do to assist Katkop? We deployed 4 members that we took from Bizeni to just to beef up as additional members to from Bizeni. We also had additional forces for the support to assist the support service. And we also established village committees. That's why we've got 2 committees. I heard Uzama said there are young men who are patrolling alone. Those are part of the village committees that we're assisting the police and also the reservists. Those committees are established at Elalini and Mdeni localities. Village committees are forming part of the CPF and they are working closely with VISPON and the station commander. If there's no van that side, we know that those committee members, they are there. If there's something, maybe they see that the stock is been stolen, they quickly call the VISPON commander or the station commander. We have joint operations from other clusters, but now we're no longer calling them clusters, it's district. We combine Jogadi, Alfred Zoe, and O.R. Tambo. We just had a very big operation last month from the 27th of August to the 27th of September, dealing with the whole area, because you cannot only deal with a small spot of Katkop, because Katkop is sharing the borders with Sulengama. Even with our crime situation, we can see they are in the top 10 in cases of stock theft. So that is why we say let us have those cross district operations together simultaneously. We are in the process of upgrading the station. Remember, Maclear was just recently upgraded 2 years back. Now we are in the process of upgrading Katkop, because Sulengama is already upgraded to a lieutenant colonel. so that it can have more personnel. So we are already going to do the feasibility study for the station to be upgraded. Can we go to the next slide? Our interventions there, we have actually resuscitated the rural safety strategy and we are monitoring it. There is a traditional policing that is introduced to complement the rural safety. In this traditional policing that we have established in this province, because it's because of the problem of those areas where police stations are too far from the communities. Now we are using the traditional councils to beef up the workforce of the police. Now we are in the process of recruiting the reservists that are going to be posted in those traditional councils. So we are recruiting 10 per traditional council. So that process is done with the chiefs and also the headmen of those areas. We have already processed those who have already applied. Very soon, others will be going for training, and others they are going for medical screening. All licensed liquor outlets are being visited for compliance every week. As I already said, we are recruiting reservists for those areas to beef up the manpower of the police. They will be trained and they will be able to work on their own. Next slide. These are the recoveries that we've done from 2018 since we visited Slenkama, because myself, I was there requested by the community after there was those complaints of high rate of crime. We went there and we promised that we are going to deal with those areas. And these are the successes only for CATCOP. We have recovered 771 sheep, 215 goats and 118 cattle and 8 horses during our operations. Can we? Okay. So this is how to show how we dealt with after we engage in our operation in those areas. If you look at the difference between 2017-2018 and 2018-19, you will see there is a decrease in crime in all areas. There's only area that is still up is common assault, but all other areas, there's a decrease in crime. Can you go to the next slide? Still, the impact on our intervention is still showing the decrease in that area, because this is specifically for CATCOP. So our interventions actually are yielding results, because we have seen a drastic decrease in crime, although it is not much, because one crime committed is one too many. But there is a change in terms of crimes that are going up. Next slide. Still the same in crime categories. Can we go to the next slide? Still the same. It shows decrease. Also, there's issues of arson, where the property has been tortured. That is the only increase that we have seen in that period. Next slide, number 13, challenges. Despite the additional human resources that have been deployed to the area, there is still a general lack of adequate human resources. As I said, now we are going to upgrade the station to the Lieutenant Colonel station so that it can match the vast area, and also with the additional of the reservists. The landscape of the area is not favoring police patrols, as it is mountainous with no roads and more forest. Even if we are patrolling at night, the criminals, they see their van coming from far away and then they run easily. That is why now actually we have put our own undercover police who are patrolling the area without being seen. The people are only seeing people being arrested and firearms recovered. So the policing area is very vast and consists of more than 70 localities for that small station. The area is very dark at night. There is no street lights, lightning or Apollo lights. Stolen stock is recovered, but no arrests are made. Because if you are chasing those criminals, they see you from far and then they will just run away. We will only recover the stock. One thing I want to stress to the committee, The community cooperation is very, very important to us, because the community, they know who are these people, but they don't want to talk. I remember myself in the same imbizo that we're having. I mentioned a name of a person. I say, where is this person? But nobody wanted to come out to say, we know this person. And they will tell you that, hey, you are being terrorized. And they know who are they. And even when these people are arrested, nobody wants to come forward to give statement, to beef up our investigation. So if the investigation is not enough or our case is not watertight, those people will go out. Even when we are opposing bail, we need information from the communities, but they don't want to come forward. And then the next day, the court will release the suspect. So we need the community support in all cases. I want to mention a very good example of the area that is next door to Katkop, the Kubusi area. It was the very same thing where people were terrorized by these criminals. We went there with the premier. It was the first visit was with the MEC. They didn't want to talk. I even just talked to others aside to say, give me your number. You call me at night. They use, like Usisa said, they are in Gauteng. I said, don't give the police information. Give information to a person who's in Gauteng. That person in Gauteng will call me back. And then that is how we dealt with the issue of Kubusi. 13 young men were arrested. They are still inside in court. We managed to oppose bail because now the community and the youth, they started to support the police. But so if, I'm saying, if we've got that support from the community and the youth must come out and assist us, we will be able to deal with the area. So people of Kubusi, they are now, you know, the area is quiet. They came back to their homes because others, they ran away. Everybody is back home now because all the criminals are in jail. I just want to show you our successes. What I was talking about is just a gallery to show you what we are doing there. These are the parades that we are doing. Go back to the first slide. I want to show that we are not only doing it during the day. You see, there's a parade during the day, there's a parade at night. Where we go without anybody seeing us, we walk, we use the community horses to arrest the suspect. And the next slide, these are the recoveries that we are doing during our operation in those mountains. People were so glad when we were there. Women were ululating when we were recovering their stock. And then these are the sheep that we've recovered during our operations. Next slide. Those are the arrests. You see, we even recovered the firearms in the same areas. These are young men that we arrested for stock theft. We recovered firearms. Next slide. Those are the goals that we recovered working together with the community. We do very well in those operations.
Is it only me who cannot hear the commissioner? Hello?
He's very loud and clear with us.
Now she's got
to talk. Thank you.
You see the goats, those goats and sheep that we recovered. We were working with the community in our operation. Next slide. These are the cattle that we recovered in those forests of Amaladin in Engak. Next slide. We were here. It was just last month where we went door to door at Katkop. Our junior officers in the police station and from head to PA provincial office, we go door to door, we talk to people on the issues of gender-based violence and also on the issues of stock theft. We went there, talking to them house to house, getting information so that we can strengthen our cooperation with the community. Next slide. Still the same, the patrols, we're using the horses because the roads are not conducive for our vehicles. So during the day we use the police horses. At night we use the community horses. Next slide. In conclusion, I want to say although huge decreases were achieved in most of the crime categories in the Katkop area, stock theft remains a concern. Intervention will be maintained but intensified. More emphasis will be placed on the community in blue concept and the recruitment of reservists. So in terms of gender-based violence, action plan would be rolled out in all those areas. As I said, we have already been there talking to people, trying to make them understand on the issues of gender-based violence. Because most of people, again, those sites, they are being victimized, but they don't report crime. That means there is also issues of non-reporting of crime, because people, they just take it as the normal thing to be victimized. And also those who know about the victimization of the victim, they don't come forward to report the crime. I submit, Chair. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Honorable member from, and you have heard the petitioner as well as the executive mayor. So now I will allow you, honorable members, to ask questions. You'll decide from who do you want to ask questions from. I don't have a problem whether you start from the end or else you start to e-petitioner. Can you then allow yourself to just questions of clarity so that when we discuss the matter, we are able to be clear on all the matters that have been raised in the meeting. Over to you, honorable members.
Chair?
Yes.
It's honorable Lucas, may I start?
Yes, you can.
Thank you very much, Chair. Good morning, Chair. Good morning, Ms. Mwane, and to the police and the municipality as well. My name is George Michalakis. I represent the Free State Province in the NCOP. Chairperson, I just have one short comment and then one question.
Okay.
I don't know about the other members, but one thing that I do find very disturbing, and I think it's a consequence of something that has come over a long period of time, but especially in petitions, I find it very, very irritating, for the lack of a better word. And that is when a member of the community points out a problem, and I do not hear an acknowledgement of the problem. I do not hear proposed solutions to a problem. I simply hear wonderful stories of what has been done. But if what has been done is sufficient, then it would not be necessary for a member of the community to come and raise these serious issues. I do find that slightly problematic. But be that as it may, I would have liked from the police to at least have acknowledged what exactly the problems are that they're experiencing, so that we can be in a position to help them, and also to indicate to us where it's impossible for them to do something, so that we can find alternatives, because we're trying to find a solution for the problem that Ms. Ngwane put on the table so eloquently for us. My question is the following. Whether the petitioner would be able to help us to supply to us case numbers in the instances where cases have been opened from the members of the community, so we can have those case numbers as the committee, and also the police to provide us with case numbers and details from the cases that they've mentioned. The reason why I'm asking this is because I would like us as a committee to be in a position to know exactly how that process of every single complaint went from the police station through investigation to a state prosecutor to the courtroom, and whether everyone in that link did their job. Because I get the feeling that somewhere within our criminal justice system, it's not just a capacity problem, but somewhere within our criminal justice system, something or someone is not working. I also heard mention being made of syndicates, and this is the same case in the Free State. And simply giving more capacity to the police is not going to solve that problem. The rot is then, in that case, within the criminal justice system. And if that is the case, we need to find a solution to point out who in this chain is the rotten apple. So, Chairperson, my only question to the petitioner and the police would be, if they can please, in the case of the petitioner and the police, supply us with case numbers of every case that has been opened, and in the case of the police, that they supply us with the details of every single case, how far it went, and why it didn't reach the point of a proper prosecution in every case. Thank you, Jane.
Okay, can I proceed?
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. Can we go to the next one?
Okay.
Yes. I see Honorable Bartlett's hand is up. And then after Honorable Bartlett will be Honorable Sheikh. And then after Honorable Sheikh will be Honorable Sileku. And then Honorable Mthethwa, in that order.
Okay. Thanks, Chair.
All right.
Okay, Chair.
I will take the hand, Honorable Zandamela.
I was also worried about the petitioner, because it seems that she's still volunteering, and this petition, this problem, came from 2018. So I'm just worried. I think the previous speaker covered on that issue. If these cases are coming on for so long and people are dying, what actually did the police do except for starting now giving us this report, which you don't have a problem with? So, Chair, if they can provide us with the evidence, and I'm worried about the GVH. It is still, I think, 44%, if I'm right. So the GVH is still, the GVH is still very high. And then also the mayor. I think Zama spoke about the darkness. Somebody said it's very dark. So what's the municipality doing about these issues? Because if they can fix the darkness, except for involvement of the community, then it will be helpful. And if it is that these things are really out of order, the lights, then what's the problem for them in fixing it today, if possible? I don't know the distances there, Chair, but it is a problem. Because we can ask the community to be involved, but we can't ask them to be involved in such situations. And then the police, I know they spoke about the visibility of the police, but we need more police visibility in this area, Chair, because I'm very much worried that people can go into houses, someone's houses, who's helping, and chase them out of the houses. Then we are sitting with a very, very serious problem, Chair. I think I'll just stop there, Chair. And the
thank you very much.
Sorry, Chair. On the issue of the legal outlets, if the police can look into the illegal outlets also, and also the situation, remember where there's liquor outlets, we must talk about the distances. So the police can also look at that. I don't want to put a lot of questions here, but this is a very worrying situation. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. Thank you very much. Honorable Sheikh.
Thank you, Chairperson. And good morning to the petitioner, the executive mayor, representatives from SAF. My name is Sheila Sheikh, and I'm from the Limpopo province. I represent the Limpopo province on this committee. Chair, a lot of my issues have been covered, and I'm not going to repeat them. However, I know the stories that come out from the petition are quite horrendous, and I think the presentation by both the mayor as well as the South African Police Services is that there are various initiatives to try and address some of these challenges. Chair, I just wanted to maybe just let me ask three other questions, because Honourable Bartlett and Honourable Nicolakis have covered me to a large extent, but you know, the South African Police Services does, they do raise issues of capacity as well as challenges within the terrain in the area. But I just want to know, with the issues of capacity around vacancies, around issues of the vehicles, the American vehicles that have high kilos that are constantly in the garage and whatever, what do you think done to address those kind of matters? The other issue I wanted to know from both the petitioner as well as the police, whether these challenges that they encounter from the side of the police, whether they've actually elevated the matter to try and get assistance. But from the petitioner herself, whether she has elevated this matter beyond the municipality. And I think it relates also to your initial introduction, Chair, to, you know, us being the last place where a petition would actually get the necessary attention. It's generally preferable that matters are also addressed at the level of the province and everywhere else. And the last issue, Chair, is around what was said by Seth around the lack of community cooperation. And if I heard the petitioner clearly, or I'm not sure if I read it in the document, but there's also some reference of the police being, you know, involved. So I don't know if Seth can maybe give us further information in terms of this perception, what it is they're doing to address this. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Sheikh. Honorable Tlefu?
Good morning, Chair.
Morning.
Njani class.
Sikona mdakwethu. Nasiye.
Please. Let me greet my colleagues as well and our guests. To the petitioner, thank you very much for bringing this petition to this committee. Chair, mine basically is always about local government, and I would just I don't know why. And I think the issue of roads is very worrisome. When the provincial commissioner will say we go have the tools.
Okay. Can the commissioner mute? We hear the conversation.
Thank you very much, Chair. So it's not good to hear that we do have the tools to do the job, but we can't do the job because of the roads. And having the understanding that the different spheres of government should actually work together, because you've got your sector departments in provinces, and you've got your districts, and then you've got your local municipalities. And every financial year, they go through a process of budgeting. And so I'm a little bit worried in terms of how do they prioritize in terms of their projects when it comes to roads. Because we cannot sit with the challenge of having roads problems and the municipality is not actually dealing with it. And I did not hear anything how they're addressing the issue of roads. And also what I would like to know, Chair, is the issue of lightning. And because if there is crime committed in this particular town, and I'm just worried now about how do they actually, you know, go? Is there no lights? And if there are lights, are the lights sufficient enough? Or if not, what are the plans to make sure that the area is light? Because they are talking about the area is vast. And also, Chair, in terms of when there is crimes committed in Katkop, where do they report these crimes? Is there a station or a service center in, you know, walking distance in Katkop, or should they go to a different area? And what are the plans of making sure that the service of the people for the people is actually brought closer to the residents of Katkop? And another worrying thing for me, Chair, is the successes that the provincial commissioner is mentioning. You know, in terms of recovery, someone will say one of our successes is we have recovered 10. Recovered 10 out of how many? You know, Chair, because if you say you have successes, you must be able to give us an indication as a committee so that we can measure. Because if there's livestock that is lost, it's in hundreds and hundreds. And when are you only, you know, recovering a few? It can never be a success. You need to tell us the reporting of the theft and how much we are recovering. And also, Chair, I cannot agree when someone says it's a success. We have recovered what was lost, but there is no arrest. When you recover, what is your sole purpose? It is basically just to recover the lost stock, or is to make an arrest. So the other two must go together, because you cannot say it's a success, you've recovered the stock, but you are not making any arrests. So what actually happens then? So when the stock is taken back, the perpetrator goes to the next house, and then he goes and steals what was recovered from by the police. So we will never achieve anything. So the police must tell us in terms of how are they going to make sure that these people are brought to book. And the issue also that the petitioner has mentioned is that the people that get that are caught go for hearing for bail, and then they will be granted bail. So it's a problem, and it's everywhere in the country that people that commit crimes, they keep on doing the same crime because of the hope that they will be granted bail. So I don't know what is the police doing in terms of making sure they mobilize and they encourage the residents within that particular area and municipality, whenever there's such bail hearings, that they actually get involved so that they make sure that these guys don't actually get these bails, so that they go out and do the same thing. Chair, and the rest we will engage. I will share when we engage on this petition, Chair. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Can we then go to Honorable Mthethwa?
Yeah, thank you, Chair. Chair, I want to direct my question to the police. It's based on my concern is on the Guard Corps crime stats. Between 2017 and 2018, the level of murder there is so high, Chair. My question is, while I appreciate their intervention, because you can see that between 18 and 19, it surely there is some level, maybe it is going down. But what type of murder is this one? Since they've singled out the issue of the attempted murder and the rape cases as a sexual assault, all those are separate. I just want to know what type of murder are the most common, especially mostly in 2018, 14 from increase from 9 to 14. Is it because of the tribal areas, or what are these crimes? What are these matters is made of? Thanks, Comrade Chair.
Thank you very much. In terms of my list, that was the Honorable Zandamela is the last.
Chairperson, can you fix your camera, Chair?
Oh, what happened to it?
Because we see you sideways. Or did you just me?
No, I don't. I have a problem because I'm in a phone.
So is it upside down?
You are right now.
Am I fine now? Hey, yes. I don't know what's happening. Thank you very much. Yes.
Just one, just two things that are percent about the
shutdown. But your reception is bad.
Also, like the volume. Am I audible?
The reception.
Yeah.
There's something behind. I don't know. Am I alone? Okay, you can talk.
So I just wanted to talk from the mayor as well. Are they holding community meetings?
assume there is a...
Yes, your reception is very bad. We struggle to hear you. Honorable Zandamela?
Mela, can you hear me now?
We cannot speak, although still there.
Still there. The first issue was to the mayor about the community meetings, and then the second issue is the issue of the rape cases that I saw in the presentation of the book. Generally, what was said by the petitioner. I just wanted to find out from the commissioner, but she said that she's with the police head of intelligence. You know, how come that the intelligence cannot detect that what happened that year? Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. It's bad, bruh.
But I hope you...
Okay. That was the last question. One from my side would go to the commissioner. She indicated that Tsitsana, it's true, it's very far, the police station that is at Tsitsana, it's very far from Katkop. And the proposal from the mayor, was it from the mayor? Oh yes, it was from the mayor, that they wish, if it's possible, to have a mobile police station. So what I would like to know from the commissioner, is it possible for that to happen, to have a mobile that gets around the area where there's high rate of crime? And two, to the petitioner, there's a clear accusation of police officers that are cooperating with the criminals. I just want to know, is she able to point, not necessary yet, to point out who exactly are those police? Because at some point, it's not good to insinuate, if I am using the right word, rather than to be direct to the police and report formally, not in this meeting. But if there was such a case of reporting those police that are cooperating with the criminals, I would like to know if they did, if they did not, is it possible for them to do so, so that we're able to stop this kind of issue. So those are my two questions, petitioner and the commissioner. Can I then allow them, I'll start with the petitioner to respond to all those questions that were relevant to her.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. If I'm correct, I believe the first question came from Honourable Member George from the Orange Free State, and he asked if there was a way for me to supply case numbers and then also for Lieutenant General Jinga on her side.
Can I correct you first? It's no longer Orange Free State, it's Province of Free State.
Thank you, Madam.
Free State Province, not
Free
yet.
State. Thank you. Take the orange out. yes, I have a little bit of a file built up and I can... sorry, please excuse that phone call coming in. I'll turn it off. And I can supply some case numbers. We did a bit of an exercise recently where we tried to gather those as much as possible. If perhaps I can just be notified of which channel or which email address or which phone number do I use to supply or supply this information. So I can definitely do that. And perhaps the Runganye, so I can then return that kind of documentation. And then I think Honorable Sheikh referred to have I elevated the matter beyond the municipality? And that sentiment came across from a couple of the members of the committee. So I'm just an ordinary man on the street. In my day-to-day profession, I'm not in the legal space. So for me, the petition was one of the first ways of getting a spotlight on this issue. Obviously, there have been peaceful marches to the police station. When Honorable Mayor Lengs and her team, including the team from the police, when they did that huge drive in 2018, I was part of the community members who raised their hand to raise issues. So yes and no, in some ways we have been trying to go through the normal or the correct chains, but we don't always know, I don't always know what those correct chains are. So this is a learning exercise as well in trying to bring the spotlight to the issue. I'm also learning who I should contact and where I should go. And I appreciate all of those directions to get assistance. But another thing is, yes, I'm the face and I'm here. I don't want to say that I'm brave. I just don't have a choice. I don't have an option. I've got kids who would like to go home, but we're stuck. We can't go home. So this, for me, is as much as for myself and my kids, as it is for my neighbors who I'm in constant communication with. And unfortunately, one of the biggest things, I hope I'm not skipping over a question, but it was referred to by Lieutenant General Njenga that they need community assistance. Okay? People are petrified. There was a peaceful picket that the ladies did, if not 3 months back, to the police station. A 1 minute video clip was taken by someone attending it, and they shared it with us in the closed DATCOP group that we have, where we socialize and talk about serious things. Within an hour, people were petrified that this video was public, and they were scared that they were going to become victims of intimidation or that their families would be next. So that video from our closed Facebook group was requested to be pulled down. That's just the, that's like an acid reading, an acidist reading of the fear that people have in their hearts. People have told me that I'm brave because I'm talking about these things. People are scared to say people's names because the syndicate or the syndicate members or the heads, obviously I wouldn't know, again, ordinary woman on the street, I wouldn't know how far up these people are. I can just see what I can see. So I'm happy to share my observations. I'm happy to have those prone to be investigated and turned upside down and looked into clearly. On the part of getting the community to come up to the police and say this is happening, the first thing, CPF doesn't work. It's become a bit of an old man's forum where ubabomdala uthize thizeni who finds themselves prominent in the community uses the CPF forum as his term of rule, right? Unfortunately, in Gatgop, that is a stretch in the CPF. It's ineffective. People refer to it as a snitches forum. They don't trust it. They don't like it. And a lot of people want no part of it. Like I say, it's ended up being a bit of like a cigarette lounge type thing where certain old gentlemen get together and they do as they see fit for their own political and personal aspirations in the community. And we don't want to be tied up in all of that politics, that's what I'm looking for. So the community doesn't trust the police, so they don't report, or they report and then they let it go. Okay? I can be honest in my personal capacity, I have never had any feedback from my case, 31 August 2018. I walk into the police station often because I know people and I'm certifying something or I'm trying to renew license, but this, whatever it is, and I've never had feedback. I think one particular occasion, on the day I was moving to Joburg, is he a detective? One of the detectives, but not the one leading my case, happened to ask me if there's been anything going forward, has there been any good news with the case? And I said, I've never heard anything. And even after that conversation, just outside the police station, I never heard anything back. So people get that kind of response from the police, and then they don't have faith that anything's going to happen. So in order for the community to sit up and have the guts to come out and say, my neighbor's son was one of the men who attacked me last night, people need to trust that they're going to be protected for speaking their truth. People need to trust that something is actually going to happen, because history has taught us that nothing happens. And people need to trust that they're not going to have someone arrested. They're not going to stand on a stand in court and speak their truth. And then that same person gets released, and then they will be in an unsafe position. So that's just the honest truth on that, like police involvement or, sorry, people standing up and being whistleblowers. If maybe we can give people a toll-free line where they can call and anonymously give this information. If we can campaign around publicizing something like that, because I do know those kind of things exist, it would be a part of the solution. Moving swiftly on to Honorable Isaac, he said, he's on the way to report the crimes, and he mentioned around the criminals coming back to the community. So Gasco Police Station is it the R52? Yeah, it's on the main road between Mount Fletcher and Maglia, and the Gasco community is within 5 kilometers walking distance from there. So people, they have issues, they report directly to that police station. But as we've learned through the discussions this morning, is that that police station services a huge area. So at night when you call, they'll tell you that the car is or the vehicle is Isizane, which is a good 30 to 40 minutes drive from Ekurhuleni. So you may be 5 kilometers from the police station, but when you need assistance in that moment, the vehicle could literally be 40, 50 kilometers away. So that is one of the issues I was hoping that would be highlighted, and then the police would be given maybe, or be able to raise the resources to kind of close a gap that is like that. And then Honorable Enoch Mtetwa referred to the murder cases. One of the saddest things is that in a case like murder, it's normally not an offense like murder alone. First, someone stormed into your house. Someone assaulted you. Someone raped you. Someone stole your goods. Then someone killed you. So murder cases generally, especially in our area, are never standalone in that case. And they're quite high for any area. They're really high. And then
the last one,
Andamela asked about community meetings. Honestly, Honourable Member, there have been a lot of community meetings. But as human beings, even in the private sector, I can tell you, we're very good at meetings. The issue is the rollout. The issues we raise, the solutions we project, is there tangible or physical rollout that we can see with physical or tangible differences or changes in our world? And as we stand, the sad answer is no. So the municipality engages with us a lot. They care, they ask questions, they do follow-ups, but we are currently struggling with throughout processing, like actually seeing something to completion, actually seeing a solution to completion. And it could be budgetary constraints, or it could be something where there's just lack of capacity to do something, or it needs multiple organisms to get together to come to the solution. Like in this case, One thing I really wanted to steer away from, and I hope I'm not guilty of it today, is I wanted to steer away from finger pointing. This person should have done this. This person should have done this. What we're asking for is collaboration that's going to reap results. We need local governments to work with our police system. We need our community to be able to trust that bodies are going to come up with a effective solution. And then once we've said, okay, this is the solution, this is what we want to do, it would be really awesome and great if we can actually do it so we can see these numbers drop even more. As far as data is concerned, some of the numbers were a bit worrisome to me because they seemed very low for even cases that I'm aware of. But that's just a data issue that Lieutenant General Jingela is not responsible for. So we also need to be able to have an avenue where we can give back maybe more correct data so that they know what they're dealing with and they know what they're working with. But thank you, everyone, for the questions. I hope I've answered them in their totality. I'm sorry if there's anything that I missed.
Okay. Thank you very much. And then we'll go to the mayor.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Okay. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm going to answer the questions that are directed to us. I think there are three questions. One is the issue of roads, the issue of street lights, follow, and the last one was the question of community meetings. I will start with the issue of roads. Yes, Chairperson, I must say that we do have a challenge when it comes to the access roads. As I already said earlier on, that Ward 7 is bust. If you talk of Ward 7, Ward 7 is having more than 17 villages alone. And the municipality is servicing 17 wards with limited resources. We are the one of the municipalities that are depending from government grants. We are trying our best, as I said earlier on when I was corrected, that there are roads that are constructed by the municipalities trying to intervene in those challenges that affect Ward 7. I said in 2016-17, through a prioritization of communities and areas that we need to prioritize, Tsitsa was one of them. We did Tsitsa to Sophonia Access Road in 2016-17. Again, the following year, 17-18, we did Impindweni to Gamakulu Access Road. It's also Ward 7. That is serviced by the Katko Police Station. Again, in 2019-2020, we did a rehabilitation of Tsitsa Bridge because there were issues that were raised around that caused a challenge in that area. As we speak, in this financial year, we budgeted bridges as it should be, because there's a lot of bridges. Yes, those roads are, Ward 7 goes with it bridges. We budgeted for E2 bridges for this financial aid in Sophonia area. It's also Ward 7. That those are the interventions of the minister when it comes to the roads. Sure. Yes, there are still roads that need the attention of the minister.
Okay, let's pass the roads.
Coming to the issue of street lights and ABOM, truly speaking, there are no street lights in almost all of our rural areas. There are no street lights. We only have street lights and ABOMs in the urban areas. But we will consider this matter of street lights. we'll go back to the municipality and consider this, because it seems as if it also imposes a challenge when it comes to e operations discussed. The last one is the issue of community meetings. We do have community meetings. Quarterly meetings, ward committee meetings, and we also extended our village meetings. We do have committee meetings. Even those priorities and those roads that we are building are the roads that were discussed in those meetings. Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think it was the first one that was directed to me.
Thank you very much, Honourable Mayor.
Sorry, Chair. Okay. Lastly, what I can say, truly speaking, the issue of budget constraints affects us badly. As I speak, in this financial year, even in the past financial year, we were given only 37 million for the entire Elundi when it comes to the MIG grant that we are.
Okay. We are noting that. Thank you very much, Honorable Mayor. Can we take now Commissioner Singer? Over to you, Commissioner.
Thank you so much, Chair. The first question that was asked about the case numbers, we will be able to submit those case numbers and also the status of each and every case, how far is it. We will submit that report. The issue of syndicates, I hear Sizama talk about the syndicate. For us to be able to address the syndicates, we must have that information. We need the information from the community or from our deployed informers so that we can be able to deal with the syndicates. We do have organized crime that are dealing with the issue of syndicates. I would love to get that information if it's available so that you can start to deal with them. Although we know that people, they know what these people, but they don't want to come forward with those names. But we do our own names as we have already started. The second question is the question of cases that have been dragging for so long, from 2018. Those cases are in court. Remember, the CADCOP is being serviced by the different courts. So we are not able to say why is it taking so long, but we can also follow as to why some cases are still in court, but I'm sure others are already done. We can also give that report. The issue of liquor outlets, every weekend we've got operations, the whole province and also including Sulengama. We are raiding the liquor outlets from Thursday. There's a compliance operation where we check whether they do have licenses. If they do have, are they complying? From Friday, we are closing the illegal outlets. Even if you've got a license, if you are not complying, we are closing them. So it's an every week thing, because in the rural areas, it's not like in the urban areas. It's difficult because everybody has got a ship in Kurondavel. They just sell. If you go there, they are selling, you take the liquor, you destroy it again. It's just a matter of, we arrest them again. If we find you so many times you are selling, we arrest the docket, go to court, they get a very low sentence, they come back again, because if for them is their means of living. That is where we see also those murder cases are emanating from those liquor outlets, because it's from the abuse of alcohol. The rural areas, really, the issue of liquor, it's a problem, because we will close them today, tomorrow they open, because they say it's our manner of living. We can't just stay without selling the liquor. But we continuously close them because they are the generators of crime. Also, the issue of cars that are in the garage, what are we doing? We have ordered 4 mobile garages. Joe Kadi has got 1 mobile garage. so that if there's a small issue, mechanical issue, that vehicle is not taken into a bigger garage. The mobile garage will go out and fix the car. It's like the puncture or the small mechanical issue. It is done by the mobile garage. We have already given a new vehicle, if you have seen, because we've seen the problem of cut off, then we are actually trying to give them the resources. So there's a new car that was also operated. And I'm sure if there is another bed that is coming, they will also be given a car. The issue of stock recovery, I can't give a number now of say how many stock was stolen. I'm able to give the number that was recovered. And again, to say there's a recovery without arrest, I think I explained that one. If you understand the topographic area of Katkop, it's mountainous, there's forest. The village committees, they say the stock has been stolen. People are now driving the sheep. We go out, we want to arrest. But those people who are driving the sheep at night, they will see the van still coming far. There's a light of the van, and then they run away. When you catch up there, you only find the stock. The thieves are gone, disappeared in the forest. Others, they will be gone, and then you will get information from the committee that there's a lot of stock that has been hidden in the forest. When you go there, you won't find anybody. You only find the stock that has been hidden there. So unless we have an information also to say who was driving those stock, so that we can be able maybe to use our own means of arresting them, of linking them with the information. Hence now we are changing the manner of operation. We are doing our unconventional method of dealing with those cases. That is where crime intelligence is coming in. Because now an ordinary conventional method of policing, of visibility, it does not work. It needs an unconventional model. So that is why in other cases we managed to arrest people who are stealing the stock. The issue of mobilizing communities to court, I think we've done it successfully in the Kumusi area. That's where I'm saying those 13 suspects are still in court because the community stood up to say enough is enough, let us work with the police, because they've shown us that if we give them information, they don't leak information, they arrest the suspect. There was even a community member, a leader, who they came to her to say, I want to get into the court and give the statement to oppose the bail, me as a councillor, because the community is afraid, but me as a community leader, I'll get into the court and oppose and assist the police to give a statement. And also they had their own petition from the community who said, we don't want these people to get out. And that bail was successful because of the community. Again, I want to stress the issue of the witness statement. If you arrest and there's no witness to beef up your investigation, the court will never be able to make an informed decision. They will just tell you that there's enough evidence, the case is withdrawn in court due to the fact that people don't want to come. I think people must start to trust the police. As I said before, we go to them, please trust us. And the issue of CPF, we are trying now to recruit the young ones, because people who are doing the best things in the areas is the young people. So that is why we went there to do a door-to-door campaign at Katkop to recruit young people to be part of CPF. Because if we gain the trust of the young people and we use them to guard their area, I think we will be able to win the issue of crime. But if we are taking them away from us and we only use the old people to be part of CPF, it's not going to work. So we are in that process of recruiting young men and women to be part of the CPF and to be part of the street committees. We have seen it has worked in other areas. Also, the issue of the mobile station, because the police station is at Katkop, Sisana don't have. That is why we say we need to make sure that the traditional council there must give the police a space whereby the reservists and maybe one policeman will be housed there, so that they cover that area. We give the resources,
Because if we are going to use the mobile station, that mobile station, it will be coming from the bigger station. It travels those 40 kilometers to go there, and sometimes it's going to break along the road because we've got a big, a fully-fledged mobile station. But for temporarily, that's the thing that you can do. But we need a space from the traditional council, that one, so that we can park it. It mustn't drive up and down because it will break due to the bad roads. So that one, it can be done as a short term, but we want to put the reservists in those areas. I don't think it's the other areas that I did not respond. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Commissioner. You have responded to my question. What I will then do, it's for us as a committee now to look at the petition holistically and taking into consideration the responses that you have given us, both the municipality and the Office of the Commissioner. And after we have sat down as a committee, we will be able then to come back to the petitioner and give the feedback. It will be decided by the committee, other logistics, after we have sat down and look at the petition. So let us thank the commissioner, thank the honorable mayor, and as well the petitioner for coming and presenting to us and be honest with matters. But what I want to highlight to the commissioner is that this committee that I'm in of the petitions, it's the same committee that is dealing with issues of justice, issues of police. We are also a committee responsible for both justice and police. So it's always good when you interact with us. You don't only give us issues that are glossy, and you don't give us information for the purpose of us being able to help you, whether it's to unblock from the Department of Justice or else from the police itself, from the minister, because we're interacting direct with the ministry of the department. So as ENCOP, it's one of our roles to help where there is a need. So when interacting with us, interact with us knowing very well that we are not only to visiting you or else interacting with you with the sole purpose of only charging the department rather than helping. The petitioner is expecting us to respond and help the situation they find themselves in. We promise that we'll do that, especially after looking at all those things that we are raising. Of one, cases that are very slow from the Department of Justice. And it's critical for us to know, even the case of the petitioner herself, she said, since he reported the matter, he never got the feedback that tells her the matter is at this stage. I think it's always important when a person reports a matter, she or he gets the feedback. I think the police service general, they are very weak on that. Lastly, is the issue of a number that the community can use to report matters without identifying themselves because of fear from the community itself or the perpetrators of violence. Allow them to have that number, Commissioner, so that they are able to report. On that note, we are finishing with this item. We thank you very much for your participation and honorable members. Our next item then, you can be excused.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
We continue with our agenda now. Thank you very much to you. Now our next item is to adopt the report of Department of Labor.
and I am sure that we have all received the report on time. Can we quickly look at that? Looking at the time, now it's 11:50. Honorable members, yo, look at this. Yes. Can I have the feedback from the honorable members? Hey.
Chair?
Yes.
Chairperson, just yes. as a question, at this stage, if we want to adopt the report, how are we looking in terms of a quorum?
Don't we have the quorum now? I haven't looked at my participants. Yes, we do look at the issue of quorum. We definitely look at the quorum.
Are we good, Chair?
It looks like we are. Yes.
Chair?
Yes, Mr. Mkise, can you confirm that we do meet the quorum?
Yes, Chair. Thanks, Chair. We do meet the quorum, Chair.
Yes, I'm looking at the list. Yeah. Can you then look at the report quick? Any additions to the report? Any matters of clarity? Oof, this thing. My network is not good. And the report is flighted. No comments from the report? If there are no comments from the report, can... Yes?
No comments, sir. Thanks.
Okay. Can we then adopt the report? Can I have a mover?
Honorable Bartlett, I'm moving, Chair.
Thank you very much. Any seconder?
Chair, second.
Thank you very much. Is that Honorable Sheikh?
Yes, Chair.
Oh, thank you very much. That was the report for the Department of Labor. Now it's a consideration of minutes. Can we look at the minutes? And also the minutes were given to all honorable members to look at them. If there are discrepancies, we correct them. And also the minutes are flighted. Can those that were present in the meeting move for the adoption of the minutes?
I move the adoption of the minutes.
Thank you very much, Honorable Mfayela. Who is seconding?
Yeah, Chair, I second. I was trying to move, but yeah.
Okay. Yes, thank you very much, Honorable Say. That takes care of the three items of our agenda for today. Am I right, Mr. Mkise?
No, Chair, we still have one outstanding report, Chair.
Which one?
The same labor.
Oh, the Department of Labor again?
Yes, Department of Labor again, Chair.
Oh, okay. Can you then look at the Department of Labor report? Can you also flight it?
Okay, Chair.
Time is against us?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. That's the report flighted on our screen. Can I get the mover?
I'm
mover, please. Thank you, Honorable Bartlett. The seconder, please.
Me, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Say. Yeah, you are moving. Yes.
Our meeting is starting at 12.
I know. Thank you very much. So I'm sure those are our items of the agenda for today. Let me thank you very much, honorable members. Thanks for the whole day that we've taken to the petition and also the minutes and the reports of the committee. Now the meeting is declared closed. Thank you.
Thanks, Chairperson.